The KGEZ 2020 News Midday Summary continues with Logan Health's To Your Health.
Your Health.
Here to introduce this week's guest medical professional, John Hendricks.
Today we're talking about Parkinson's disease. Speech language pathologist Jacqueline McDonald with us and physical therapist Sandy Thatcher. All right, so if we can't protect ourselves from getting it, we can't cure the disease, what can we do about it?
Over at Logan Rehabilitation, we have a team of therapists. So we have occupational, physical, and speech pathology that work with patients with Parkinson's. We work closely with doctors such as the neurologists that are helping diagnose and treat the patients, and they send them over to us. So for therapy, we're looking at trying to play a crucial role in managing and improving the Parkinson's disease symptoms, trying to maintain function as long as possible, and trying to help with quality of life and reducing the disability from day one. So I think a lot of people may not understand when it comes to therapy, please don't wait until it gets into the later stages as it is a progressive disease, but try and get in as early as possible because we try and get in and get baseline functional measures and then try and help the daily life stay the best that it possibly can.
How do we diagnose this? How do we know if we've got it?
Well, generally, a physician needs to diagnose it through a CAT scan of the brain or something like MRI of the brain. Mm-hmm. But usually it can, you know, early on treatment or symptoms are that you would see somebody shuffling their feet, or you might notice yourself shuffling their feet or taking short, choppy steps, and everything's smaller, talking softer, walking slower than your family or friends.
So is there a medical test we can take to see if we have it?
You know, I think there's a variety of things that different doctors do. I mean, you typically start off seeing your primary physician, and then when they notice this pattern, then they send you on to neurology, and neurology is going to do a workup of scans and then blood work, and then sometimes they do drug medication trials and different things to see if they can tell a difference if something works and if something doesn't work. But they're usually, the neurologists are pretty good about diagnosing this pretty quickly.
So it's kind of up to us to say something's not quite right. We need to see our doctor.
And it's usually a family or loved one that notices it because mm-hmm. the disease is progressive. And I don't think people notice when little changes happen in our life.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, you don't see the little things in the mirror every day. So it's very often a family member that'll say, you know, something's wrong.
Yeah, I wondered if the individual themselves would be the first to notice it, or maybe they're discounting it because, well, I'm getting older or whatever.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
The loved one would notice, you know, something's not exactly right. Mm-hmm. But you said early diagnosis is important because you can delay it or make the best of it.
Yeah, I think we can manage the symptoms. And then from our, you know, perspective with therapy, there's a lot of research that shows that exercise is medicine, right? So we're constantly trying to get people to push through those small movements, push through those small voices, and try and get their brain and their body to remember what it used to be like. And you know, and it's these, you go from these tall, small little shuffling steps, and then like Sandy is amazing at trying to get them to be big again and remember, their brain remembers, oh, that's right, this is a normal step. And same thing with the voice. This tiny voice is coming out, and it's surprising to everyone, and we work to try and get it back. And so keeping them moving, keeping them talking, keeping them doing things, and then there's a lot of medication management, and then there's even sometimes that deep brain stimulators that they'll put in to help with the tremors that can give back quality of life. So there is a lot that can be done.
You know, what you said there reminded me of my speech teacher at Flathead High School, T.R., Tom Richardson. Mm. He would sit at the back of the class, and he pretended that he was hard of hearing. And everybody thought he was. He acted it out beautifully. I knew he wasn't because my dad, his friend, they were friends, and Dad told me, don't fall for that. But he would stand in the back, and he'd say, speak up, young man. I enunciate. I can't understand you. And that's how he got these yeah. teams to him. That's the top forensic teams in the state, you know? And it kind of sounds like that's what yeah. you're trying to do. Get people to speak up. Come on, talk to me.
You know, and it's interesting, John, here is a screen of some of the people affected, Alan Alda. Yeah. But I was thinking about Neil Diamond and Linda Ronstadt, both confident, big, expressive voices. And I don't know about Linda Ronstadt. I just know that she said, I can't sing anymore. You know, she really belted them out in the past. Maybe that's partly, it could be part of it. Yeah. But Neil Diamond, I read recently that he was going to sing at somebody's anniversary or something. It was a small gathering. So whether he was encouraged to do that or whether a speech therapist has him opening up, I'm not sure.
So what is this LSVT big treatment?
Well, the big part of it is the physical therapy. Therapy. The loud part is the speech. And I emphasize the word big because that's exactly what I'm doing with a patient is I'm trying to make them move bigger. So we'll take an exercise like raising your arms, and if they may raise them halfway, and I'll just say, get it bigger, but get it bigger.
Yeah.
Bring them up, and we'll make them step bigger, think bigger. Everything's, and that's what big is such a simplistic term, but that's exactly what we do to get them to step bigger and with all their motions, and it helps.
That's pretty much it then,
That's all.
Talk louder, and mm-hmm. take longer steps. Mm-hmm.
So how does that work with speech pathology? Is it kind of like John said with his speech teacher? Louder, bigger.
A little bit, but thankfully the program, the LSVT Loud program, came up with a computerized software. And so when people come into the office, they're able to actually watch their voices. They see the volume. And we're able to show them, this is where you're at right now, this is where normal speech is. And then the LSVT Loud is a very intensive program, so they're coming in 4 days a week for 45 minutes, and we're pushing them through these exercises. It's really hard, but they're sitting there watching their voice come back up. And not only are we targeting the speech loudness, the voice loudness, but we're also targeting clarity of speech, trying to get that melodic intonation back that makes you, and so you sound like who you are and you don't sound like that robot. And then we try and move it from just being in the office to the computer, and then we go back out to really loud areas where they're having to make an order, like they're talking at a store and doing things with background noise, and try and make it more functional for their daily life. So it's a progressive program that starts off kind of just showing them what big changes have happened to their voice and then getting big.
I don't want this.
No.
I see people with it, and I my heart just goes out because I don't want it. I don't want to lose all those functions. And you guys are there to help us keep it in just as long as we possibly can. What else would you like the community and our people to know about Parkinson's? Robin will dive into that with you after that. Montana has one of the highest suicide rates in the country. Our best chance at stopping suicide is to stop the stigma. Together, we can create a supportive environment that encourages those who suffer in silence to speak up and seek help. If you or someone you know is struggling, call the Suicide and Crisis Hotline, 988. That's 988. This message brought to you by Logan Health. For more information, visit logan.org/letstalk.
Logan Health's To Your Health continues. Here again is John Hendricks.
Today we're talking about Parkinson's disease, speech-language pathologist Jacqueline McDonald with us, and physical therapist Sandy Thatcher. All right, so if we can't protect ourselves from getting it, we can't cure the disease, what can we do about it?
Over at Logan Rehabilitation, we have a team of therapists. So we have occupational, physical, and speech pathology that work with patients with Parkinson's. We work closely with doctors such as the neurologists that are helping diagnose and treat the patients, and they send them over to us. So for therapy, we're looking at trying to play a crucial role in managing and improving the Parkinson's disease symptoms, trying to maintain function as long as possible, and trying to help with quality of life and reducing the disability from day one. So I think a lot of people may not understand when it comes to therapy, please don't wait until it gets into the later stages, as it is a progressive disease, but try and get in as early as possible, because we try and get in and get baseline functional measures and then try and help the daily life stay the best that it possibly can.
How do we diagnose this? How do we know if we've got it?
Well, generally, a physician needs to diagnose it through a CAT scan of the brain or something like MRI of the brain. Mm-hmm. But usually it can, early on, treatment or symptoms are that you would see somebody shuffling their feet, or you might notice yourself shuffling their feet or taking short, choppy steps, and everything's smaller. Talking softer, walking slower than your family or friends.
So is there a medical test we can take to see if we have it?
You know, I think there's a variety of things that different doctors do. I mean, you typically start off seeing your primary physician, and then when they notice this pattern, then they send you on to neurology, and neurology is going to do a workup of scans and then blood work. And then sometimes they do drug medication trials and different things to see if they can tell a difference if something works and if something doesn't work. But they're usually, the neurologists are pretty good about diagnosing this pretty quickly.
So it's kind of up to us to say something's not quite right. We need to see our doctor.
And it's usually a family or loved one that notices it, because mm-hmm. the disease is progressive, and I don't think people notice when little changes happen in our life.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, you don't see the little things in the mirror every day, so it's very often a family member that'll say, you know, something's wrong.
Yeah, I wondered if the individual themselves would be the first to notice it, or maybe they're discounting it because, well, I'm getting older or whatever.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
The loved one would notice, you know, something's not exactly right. Mm-hmm. But you said early diagnosis is important because you can delay it or make the best of it.
Yeah, I think we can manage the symptoms. And then from our, you know, perspective with therapy, there's a lot of research that shows that exercise is medicine, right? So we're constantly trying to get people to push through those small movements, push through those small voices, and try and get their brain what it used to be like. And you know, and it's these, you go from these tall, small little shuffling steps, and then like Sandy is amazing at trying to get them to be big again and remember, their brain remembers, oh, that's right, this is a normal step. And same thing with the voice. This tiny voice is coming out, and it's surprising to everyone, and we work to try and get it back. And so keeping them moving, keeping them talking, keeping them doing things. And then there's a lot of medication management. And then there's even sometimes that deep brain stimulators that they'll put in to help with the tremors that can give back quality of life. So there is a lot that can be done.
You know, when you said there, reminded me of my speech teacher at Flathead High School, T.R., Tom Richardson. Mm. He would sit at the back of the class, and he pretended that he was hard of hearing. And everybody thought he was. He acted it out beautifully. I knew he wasn't, because my dad, his friend, they were friends, and Dad told me, don't fall for that. But he would stand in the back, and he'd say, speak up, young man. I enunciate. I can't understand you. And that's how he got these teams to, that's the top forensic teams in the state, you know? And it kind of sounds like that's what you're trying to do. Get people
projecting.
Speak up, come on, talk to me.
And it's interesting, John, here is a screen of some of the people affected, Alan Alda.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about Neil Diamond and Linda Ronstadt, both confident, big, expressive voices. And I don't know about Linda Ronstadt. I just know that she said, I can't sing anymore. You know, she really belted them out in the past. Maybe could be part of it.
Yeah.
But Neil Diamond, I read recently that he was going to sing at somebody's anniversary or something. It was a small gathering. So whether he was encouraged to do that or whether a speech therapist has him opening up, I'm not sure.
So what is this LSVT big treatment?
Well, the big part of it is the physical therapy. Therapy. The loud part is the speech. And I emphasize the word big because that's exactly what I'm doing with a patient, is I'm trying to make them move bigger. So we'll take an exercise like raising your arms, and if they may raise them halfway, and I'll just say, get it bigger, but get it bigger.
Yeah.
Bring them up, and we'll make them step bigger, think bigger. Everything's, and that's what, big is such a simplistic term, but that's exactly what we do to get them to step bigger and with all their motions, and it helps.
That's pretty helps. Much it then,
that's,
huh?
That's all.
Yep. Talk louder, and mm-hmm. take longer steps.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work with speech pathology? Is it kind of like John said with his speech teacher? Louder, bigger.
A little bit, but thankfully the program, the LSVT Loud program, came up with a computerized software. And so when people come into the office, they're able to actually watch their voices. They see the volume. and we're able to show them, this is where you're at right now, this is where normal speech is. And then the LSVT Loud is a very intensive program, so they're coming in 4 days a week for 45 minutes, and we're pushing them through these exercises, and it's really hard. But they're sitting there watching their voice come back up, and not only are we targeting the speech loudness, the voice loudness, but we're also targeting clarity of speech, trying to get that melodic intonation back that makes you, and so you sound like who you are and you don't sound like that robot. And then we try and move it from just being in the office to the computer, and then we go back out to really loud areas where they're having to make an order, like they're talking at a store and doing things with background noise, and try and make it more functional for their daily life. So it's a progressive program that starts off kind of just showing them what big changes have happened to their voice and then getting big.
I don't want this.
No.
I see people with it, and I my heart just goes out because I don't want it. I don't want to lose all those functions. And you guys are there to help us keep it just as long as we possibly can. What else would you like the community and our people to know about Parkinson's? Robin will dive into that with you after this. On Saturday night, April 20th, Logan Health is hosting the 46th Annual Alert Banquet, the marquee fundraising event for the Medical Flight Program. The banquet will take place from 5:30 to 10 p.m. at the Flathead County Fairgrounds. This year, with the Western theme Pony Up, guests will enjoy a ranch-style savory dinner with live music, hear the Alert rescue story, and can bid on exciting items in live and silent auctions. All proceeds go toward continuing Alert's life-saving services. To purchase your tickets, visit logan.org/alertbanquet. You won't want to miss this event.
Logan Health's To Your Health continues. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
Our conversation this morning, the topic is Parkinson's. Speech therapy pathologist Jacqueline McDonald is here, and physical therapist Sandy Thatcher. Now, I have a friend who is in her 80s, who is here in town in a facility up near the hospital because she's from Pablo, Ronan area, waiting list to get in down there. So her husband is back and forth several times a week. And she's had Parkinson's for years. And I had to tell her a couple of years ago, I'm really having trouble understanding you because you speak so softly, and I've had too much loud rock and roll in the headphones, you know? Yeah. And I wanted to be apologetic because I didn't feel like I really could communicate with her. Is there a certain disenfranchising because of this? And by that I mean those who, friends not being able to be as communicative, and how does that affect the patient?
Oh, I think it's a big deal. I think the common thing people get so frustrated with is when they hear that what, or you're mumbling, speak up. People have a hard time talking on the phone anymore. It's one of the first things that is let go, and they have to have somebody else answer calls or do things for them. And so I think that's one of the things that the software, I think, we have helped so much, because people themselves, since it happens in these slow little bits, they don't realize they're speaking small. And then when I put them in front of the computer, they'll look and I'll say, okay, you need to raise your voice here. And almost all of them say at the beginning, it feels like I'm yelling.
Yeah.
And it's because it's made their voice small, like Sandy talks about, them making their movement small. It's made thought processes small. It's made the speech small. And so you have to try and remind people this is normal. And then when they start doing that, it actually progresses really rapidly. From a voice perspective, I really love treating this population because with the different research that the program has, the LSVT Loud, you really can make a huge difference in people's lives. I love to do a recording at the beginning of them reading something, and then at the end have them do that recording and let them listen to it. And people are just absolutely blown away. They didn't realize at all that they were doing everything in their life in such a small manner.
Now, her husband said she's wearing hearing aids because her hearing has gone also, and so everything seems louder to her than it really is. And so that could be a problem that's magnified with age, I suppose. The LSVT Loud treatment, you're a big fan of that, I can tell. You must see results.
I do. I absolutely love it. I think it's been, they have research for well over 20 years for the LSVT Big and Loud. It's very structured, and so you know exactly what you're going into. Every time you see a patient, you give them something to do when they leave. They leave with homework, so they're getting to see you, and it's very intensive. They go home and they do exercises. It's very intensive, and then they have community things they're supposed to do, and it's just really neat to watch somebody's life kind of come back into their eyes, because, you know, speaking is such a crucial part of life, as is the swallowing that we do. When they're having difficulty swallowing, we do video fluoroscopic swallowing evaluations. And it's wonderful. We do it in X-ray where we can watch you swallow from the inside, and we can see how that Parkinson's is giving you difficulty. Wow. And then treat that. And so it's really nice to be able to help people in this way.
Yeah. So there's no silver bullet for this thing. There's no magic pill.
No, I don't think there's a magic pill. And I think all of us are trying to do things like eat cleaner, right? Watch what we're putting in our stomach, because there's so much research right now showing that the stomach is the big brain and appears actually the little brain, you know? And so we're trying to figure out how to eat cleaner, how to filter water, do different things like that, make sure we're exercising enough. And then Sandy was going to talk about some of the things that's really helpful with Parkinson's in regards to dual tasks.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that. We're told as we get older, keep moving, keep moving. And yep. In this case, it's really important.
So important, yes. And
tell us about it.
Well, again, to emphasize the big movements for sure with the Parkinson's patients, but the dual tasking part of it is so your brain and body can communicate together. So for instance, I'll have somebody walk real big. Let's go for a walk. Now we're going to talk backwards or count backwards from 100 by sevens. Make them think. Let's come up with NFL teams that you like.
I've never been able to count backwards from 100 by sevens.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
But everyone's all like that. That's easy. No, I mean.
I was thinking about the loud therapy and getting them. But one of the natural things when we're talking to one another is gesturing. Is
exactly.
That part of this
That's
also?
A big part. And like I said, I will do the motion for them and make them make it bigger even. And like Jacqueline said, we'll do some video taping as well, watching their gait, and we'll have them walk down the hall before the cueing, and then cue them, walk bigger, and then they'll...
Well, how can we get into your department and to get the help that you guys are able to give? Yeah.
So what's wonderful about the occupational physical and speech is it does go through your insurance, and so what you're going to want to do is just have your doctor send a referral over. And so we're at the Logan Rehabilitation Center, which is what used to be formerly known as the Summit, you know, and okay. I think the physicians all know our program well, and so I think if a patient is interested, they just need to have their doctor send a referral over, and we will reach out to you.
Okay. So you're based at the Summit then?
Yes, at 205 Sunnyview Lane.
Okay.
Now, as far as the program, you two work together. Mm-hmm. So communicating is one thing and getting the motion back is the other.
Absolutely.
Yep. And we also have an occupational therapy team that does things as well. And they're the ones that address the fine motor, the dressing, the brushing, the teeth, in addition to this. So what's neat about the program we have over at Logan is you get everything addressed when you come over. We're looking at you from head to toe, trying to help you.
Do you ever get before and after, like home movies and that kind of a thing, to show them?
You know, I will sometimes have to ask people to listen to things like, you know, the outgoing message on your phone or a video, because the speech has changed so incredibly much. I don't know what they sounded like before, so I don't really know what I'm aiming for. So some of those recordings are really helpful.
Your expertise is something that we need.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today and shining some light on this disease I don't want, and I don't know how in the world I can keep from getting. Thanks so much,
Thank you, guys.
And Sandy.
Please plan to join us again next Tuesday at 12:45 for Logan Health's To Your Health, part of the KGEZ 2020 News Midday Summary.